Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now.
And I'm not saying there's not opportunity everywhere, but for the love of God, pre-internet, pre-everything, being in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we know I click record because you literally said we should record that. So to give the preface of what led to Jerry just talking about that was like, right, I was like, was basically what's happening is because of the population density in Los Angeles, where a major part of our clinics are, is what it does is it offloads busy clinics, right? It's basically what happens. So the idea of the relationships are leveraged that much more because by dropping a place, we have places in Santa Monica, we have places in, you know, the, you know, Beverly Hills, we have places in South Bay and Playa Vista. Culver City, the biggest thing with Culver City is we just don't have space. We have too many, yeah. We have too many PTs in one place. We're bumping into each other. Yeah. So to your point, we opened up the place in West Hollywood. We're basically offloading. It's like an engine that can't go any faster. So what ends up happening is you just instantly load that place up. It's a great spot to be in. Your point about Los Angeles and San Francisco. And we're seeing it here in Connecticut. And again, like, you know, New York has its own issues. The problem in New York is obviously reimbursement rates are shit and all the stuff that's going on with it. But exactly what we've recognized is, hey, if you build a really strong clinic and then you open and to a point where you are bumping into each other by opening up a clinic 10 minutes down the road, you're basically just offloading in that direction, and then it just 10x is what you can do, right? So yeah, I mean, creating system, that's a lot of what we'll talk about today, obviously, with the three of us, but creating a system that works to a point where then you max it out, it just becomes
just
so
works.
Much easier.
Yeah. By the way, creating a system that works just works.
Well, just works. So, right?
I love how we like press record and now you're actually going to make me do editing.
Yeah.
I haven't edited in like a year and a half of this podcast. Jerry, honestly, I'll kind of just start like a little like out of our intro thing, kind of introducing you, right? And then I guess I know from me, knowing what you talk about, I think it'll be really cool to get like your perspective on how the front office runs stuff, right? Because that's something that you've talked to PPS about. And I think what's interesting is I used to run, I was a regional director for like six clinics out of 27. They sold, I left, right? So I have experience in it, but I don't have recent experience. Probably in the last 4 years, I've been with other companies and doing my own thing. But Brian has been bringing in things like AI for call setting. He's been working on different things. I know he uses VAs. So I think it'd be really interesting to have you two kind of say, okay, there was the AI storm of everybody's got a new version of ChatGPT to do X, right? And then you, Jerry, the whole time were saying, yeah, but you need to train your staff, damn it, right? And then Brian was in that like tinkering mode of like, okay, we're growing. How do we optimize this? But what are we losing? And now I'm starting to see people saying, hey, has anybody actually found like a good, I think Josh Funk put out something where he's like, has anybody actually seen a good AI validation tool?
We need to, like, and you said the name so we can just continue this, but I sat there dwelling on that because I got two conversations out of that. So just as a side note, I got two conversations on that offline, and I sit there dwelling on it all night. And so this is the perfect topic because, yeah, this is good. Because
that's it. I think there's like a bottom falling out of the AI stuff.
Right. So I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit because, right, let's keep it current.
Yeah.
The stuff that there's nothing new. So this is what's interesting, right? The last time, right, when I did this work, right, when I immerse myself in the work in my business, so just for context for people listening, right?
Yeah.
I knew I needed to create something different. I hired people. I had to fire them. The second person I fired, I went, wait a minute, it's me, not them, right? Uh-huh. Honestly. And then I went, I got to do this work. And that was about probably close to 15 years ago now. Wait. Yeah, 10 to 15 years ago. And it was only until I did the work that I went, oh, Lord have mercy. And then that program, now mind you, it didn't, I always tell everybody, I tell this story pretty continuous, but let me tell you, it was a bumpy road. And it was probably a 5 to 8 year journey, right?
Yeah.
What came out of it is what I still, when you see me like respond to Brian's post yesterday or last week, when you see me responding yesterday to people asking for a point solution, it's still based on the same foundation. So what's interesting is the work hasn't changed, though. That's the interesting thing, Owen. The work hasn't changed. And I always say this, the blueprint, here we go again, the blueprint for success is out there. We didn't invent it. We think healthcare is different. By the way, I went through this journey. It was brutal. We think healthcare is different. And then being in San Francisco, meet a bunch of entrepreneurs, get over sitting around a group, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm no different. It's just the only difference between our businesses, all different businesses, nobody in healthcare, was the zeros behind our revenue, right? We all had the same exact problem. So once I established and realized there was a blueprint for success, that's the default. That's the default. It's like building a car, right? It's even with electric versus gas, right? The structure, the frames, everything is still pretty much, right? They look the same. There's more plastic on them, but they all look the same, right? The foundation and the work is still the same, man.
100%. I totally agree.
And that's, I know, Brian, you've said things with trialing these AI tools and VAs and things like that, that you kind of always come back to the fact that it's a tool, right? And you still have to have some level of systems. But like, Brian, I'm interested to get your perspective on that, trying to implement these things and, working within that structure of what you guys have built with Evolution. Like, I guess, what are some things that you've done that you can say, okay, this was kind of a waste of money, or oh, this was actually, it saved me some time, so I'm u integrating this into something else.
I think AI is obviously a huge, interesting concept. I mean, Jerry, right? Like I think about this all the time. Like when we looked at AI and voice conversations and things like that, yes, in theory, it would be amazing if the speed to lead and the way that it contacted people was amazing. The conversations it had was 100% accurate. The way it booked appointments and verified insurances and got people on your schedule to like was able to convert them to other, to other services and upsell them and creates it. But the problem is in true execution,
Yeah.
it just fell short, right? It just
Well,
always fell
it fell
short.
short today.
Yes. Well, and that's the big key. So that's why I'm bullish on it long term. But
Dude.
the reality of it is when it gets there, it could be a monster for a lot of people. And because the reality of it is, I don't think it replaces everybody, but what it does is from your front desk perspective, what it will do is instead of needing 40 front desk people to run multiple clinics, you could have four people run a bunch of AI and run those clinics. And so I think what it could replace is VAs to a degree, for sure, because like at the end of the day, like if it's a face-to-face interaction, it needs to obviously take a couple more steps forward. But we also found that the problem with it is people yearn for human interaction, right? So like good human interaction, like it does create a trust barrier, which is a bit of a problem. So in theory, if I have people calling from an AI bot, I'll give you a great example. I was in Vermont, we were just talking about this. I was sitting on a chairlift and I just overheard two other people chatting back and forth, and they're like, "Ah, oh, these spam calls, right?" And it's somebody from New York, so it's like, "Lose the number, right?" Like it's like that's the classic, right? They're talking there,
Yeah.
right? And so he's like, "I get these like robocalls. It's not even a human; it's people calling." And it's like that's the barrier of the problem right now that needs to change. And so I just think it hasn't hit that full adoption phase yet. But much like there's that critical mass it'll hit, where 19 to 25% of people will be okay with interacting with an AI and scheduling, it'll be good enough that then I think it will just take off. I just don't think we're there yet. You know what I mean? I think in both and I think it's a combination of the quality, the teaching capacity. So we've invested in quite a bit of money so far into it, but I do think that there are better solutions that are a little bit less expensive that'll work fine. So I think I think the best way to describe it is if you think about the basis of ChatGPT and what you can develop on your own for $20 a month and the $10,000 per month system, I think that gap is not there to justify the cost of that $10,000 per
What
month system.
year, see, I think there's about three different ways to go with this conversation. So let me ask you
Yeah.
this. What year were you born?
87.
Oh, Owen?
Same, yeah.
Same class, man.
It's been an interesting journey because, I mean, I went through grad school without the internet, without a cell phone, right? And I say this from a context of It just is what it is, right? And now fast forward to today. So the work I did in my clinic was pre, you know, was there was internet, but it was tech was non-existent. And by the way, got to realize I was how many years into my business before WebPT showed up, which was really the game changer for EMRs, right? So it wasn't it forced me. It was just the only way to do business was to create systems, create processes that move people through a journey that was connected, right? And so I'd watch my front desk people triple interstep because they knew we had to do this work. They knew why. And so they did it. Now to, you know, fast forward to today, it's completely different. So the way I look at AI right now is we're just in this phase. We're all in the same phase, right? I just put together a post for PPS yesterday, and basically at the beginning, I said, AI needs you more than you need it.
Yes, for sure.
And what I've learned, and you know, I've got like 3 hours scheduled every week of AI education. And it's not to build, by the way. It's just to learn use cases and how people are using it and kind of what's developing. So I've chosen to go down this path of learning about it because it will learn. And I think some of the stuff you said, Brian, is our limitations, because here's my experience. And this is the kicker right now. And I kind of, again, stumbled into this like I did the other one. I've now helped two people onboard to a voice agent. And what I learned very quickly, right? My mindset going into the onboarding and the building out the workflows was I kept having to shift from voicemail and IVR over to know this tool will solve a problem. And so a big part of it was what problem do we want solved? And you were talking about this. And so I believe if people have the knowledge of the processes and workflows and they have the patience, which I have very little of, so this has been a good test for me, is that the time to get into it is now. Because what you're building today, because I've gotten to experience this. So I put together the workflow, then I did the QA work. And how the AI was handling a call on day one versus day 80 was incredible, just insanely good. And it was because of the feedback loop we were putting in there. And this is the part I keep deferring to, and I'll end it here, is it's a learning tool, right? So what I learned very quickly, and again, stumbled into this, I heard a bad workflow and a good workflow. And I'm like, people are going to drop the bad workflow in. And I constantly post this on. And I just went on a tear like 2 days ago. I put this on LinkedIn. People are going to put bad systems and processes into AI and go, AI failed me. And I'm like, no. Right. And so it's a learning tool, shit in, shit out. And so I believe it's going to happen a lot quicker. Wait, I believe a lot quicker. I believe it's going to happen quickly, the transition. And so if you know your systems and processes and you find a decent platform and you have someone to do the what I call QA, quality assurance work, then it will be a solution, right? And so and that's been my theme throughout. And that's kind of how our conversation, I believe, that led us here started. So we go to there. Here's one other thing I want to throw out there, and I'll just say it, and I won't go into a rabbit hole because I created two PPS presentations, and one of them was, right, AI success, the human in the loop, is I just burnt, right? I have a benefit checks company, right? I created this process 15 years ago of how to get, you know, benefits, get people their cost. And when I was getting people their costs, no one Everybody was looking at me funny, and I'm like, I just asked my team and they got it for me. I don't understand this. So, you know, I just burned through two AI platforms with my benefit check company, and now we're just back to all humans. And I don't consider it a failure. I consider it a and I've talked I bet you I've talked to 10 benefit check platforms. And what I'm realizing is, right, is people who are developing the platforms need to have people like us, is what it is, in earlier on the journey when they build this thing out. Because all they were building was a portal, a a view into a portal that got me the information more quickly. And by the way, it is hilarious to get on the call with all these people. They have no fucking idea what anything means
Yes.
because they don't understand the insurance side. So I guess part two of this is, so part one was know your systems, know your processes, build it out and have the QA. And the second part is make sure, right, that the platform you're on, if you can build out a workflow that's completely yours, cool. But on the benefit check side, and this goes back to this other conversation, it is literally just a faster way to look into the portal. So if you didn't have systems and processes before and you're not monitoring info coming in and out, why waste your time? So that was a long discussion there. But needless to say, this is the shit on January 20th that I'm thinking about a lot of because I'm back to people. So when I reached out in that post, I said, I got a solution. Everybody's like, well, what AI are you using? I'm like, none of it.
Not exactly.
None of it. I've
Exactly.
got the best solution for you because it's fucking people. By the way, here's the other thing. My people did more to improve the platforms than the platforms did for me.
Yes. I think what I've recognized in general with AI, right? And it's funny because I even like plug some of the stuff that we've had in our platforms here and created some of the, interactions. What I've realized is how can we use AI to leverage the workflow for our people?
You got
Meaning
it. You
that's
got
it.
it.
Because to your point, that's where AI is. So, Owen, I guess the better to kind of go off what Jerry just said and then ask your question, what I have found is the best way to currently use AI is how can I. The trust factor is huge, right? That's a monster for me. And I agree with the shit in, shit out model is like you have to be like I almost have found that I put more stuff into AI and then have it organize my thoughts and things along those lines and then use it for training tools. And therefore then it optimizes the people to do the best thing they possibly can. And if my people come back to me and say, hey, I need help with X, Y, or Z thing, like you remember this, Jerry. This is 10 years ago. I remember writing my first email and like setting up ad, copy and doing things on social media and doing that stuff. That shit would take me days, days. I tell people now, in between, seeing a client at 7, getting to the clinic and having a meeting with one of my directors at 8:30, I can write an email that's concise, looks the way I want it to do, have the response I need to do in the CRM, leverage that ability in 10 minutes. That's the difference of what AI is doing. Is I think, and the question becomes, at what point can it just do it for you? And I think
And that's always the next question, right?
yes,
Well, I guess,
that's where I think it's not there yet.
the thing that I want to jump off of, because I think the interesting thing Jerry said is he's taken what, 3 hours a week just to learn, right?
Yes, bingo.
And how he can then teach other clinic owners, right? And
Well,
our
yeah, so I can
audiences,
learn, teach myself, right?
well, that too, right? But this podcast goes out to a bunch of clinic owners. So, like, what are some strategies you guys would recommend if I'm sitting there saying, man, this AI stuff seems cool, but I don't know a bunch about it, but I think I could probably get it to make emails go faster or help my front office. Like, how would you get, like, is it something where you just carve out a few hours a day? That's your kind of morning coffee reading? Like, what are some of the strategies? And then, like, do you spend time trying to work on the model in your day? Or is that something where a lot of owners, they're just going to want to offload this and then just say, well, screw it. No one good to offload it to, so I'll wait 5 years. Like, what would you recommend, for an owner who wants to be ahead of the curve but also has like time constraints?
I think my big thing would be to talk with people who are already using it,
Yeah,
using
that's
it,
what I was going to
leveraging,
say. I
right?
think that's number one. You got to find people using it and using it in a way. This is what's interesting about last night. And of course, everybody wants a solution. I DM and go, I have a solution. And now I don't know if they think I'm just a sales guy making a pitch, but I'm like, why would you post publicly you're looking for a solution when I say I have one, you go dark on me? I'm like,
But you
give
know
me a
what?
break, man.
So actually, Jerry, interestingly enough, I think this is actually a bit of a response because of AI, interestingly enough. So I'll give you an example, and I'm going to give it in two ways because the answer, and I'm going to land my plane right quickly, hopefully. So for me, one of the things that we have that I'm noticing on social media, and I'm curious if you have had the same experience, Jerry.
I
We do a
probably
lot
have.
of yeah, we do a lot of social media advertising and lead nurture stuff for fitness, right? So for our fitness programs. And it obviously always leads to physical therapy conversations or fitness conversations. It's an easier thing to promote on social media, right? Along with all the SEO stuff and blah, 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 all these other things we do. But what I have found is there are more people now that are soft reaching out, where it used to be, I'll give you my name, phone number, email. They're raising their hand, right, to have back pain or knee pain or an issue. And then ultimately, what happens is when you get their information, you contact them. And then what you would do is people would reach out and potentially buy services. That process has gotten worse in terms of the aspect of, if like my conversion rate, I consider it great years ago if I would get one person out of 10 reach outs. Back in the day when I first started that was much higher. And I think the bigger thing that's happening is because of AI, because of automation, that is plummeting in general. So to your point about, oh, he's just gonna sell me something. It's like, yeah, but you got a fucking problem and I got a solution, right? And it's like, and you're DMing me, right?
Well,
And so
don't
the
forget, we're talking about in a dude, where have I been, right? I'm nothing
Yeah.
but authentic, and people know it's me,
For
and
sure.
it's the same thing,
I think
right?
that's why these long forum podcasts are actually better, right? For that. Because to me, like to your point, Owen, one of the things, the opportunities I see is I've got this unique AI, brain now for this. Jerry's got a system. I didn't even know Jerry has that system for the verifications process. So more so what it is, it's going to be positioning yourselves with like courses or different things that are helpful for the information. And then when people ask for, well, what do you do as a solution for that problem? It's not even DMing them anymore, or it's not even like lead nurture and setting up a sales meeting.
Yeah, I
It's like,
like this.
here's my shit. Right? Like that's all it is. Because I think that's going to seem less salesy, ironically, than slowing down the process, especially in the LAs, the Northeast, like where I live in the Northeast and you live in LA, where people are just like today, today, today. But it's kind of flipped the model on its head a little bit. Is that if you're not fast enough, slash, like it's more authentic to be like, here, sign up for this shit and I'll teach you. Right. And I think that's the solution to a lot of these things, because ultimately, I'm finding the same thing that Jerry's finding is more and more people are almost getting turned off by the let me set you up for a conversation. Like, well, can you just text me what the prices is? Can you just text me what this is? And it's
Well,
like,
and that's not, we're circling back to how it all started, right?
yeah.
And let's talk about the front desk. How much does it cost?
Yeah.
It's like, but see, I can't. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree with that. And so back to your
Fascinating
question,
change.
Owen, you got to reach
Yeah.
out to people doing. And
Yeah.
this is where this other, so at 59, you spend more time. I mean, we always talk about it at PTs, but I'm always trying to get to the source. So again, if anybody goes down this AI path, I'm like, do you know your processes? Well, no, I need a platform. I'm like, no, do you know your processes? What are you going to plug into this, right? It's not a question of an AI platform. So find someone who's doing it. Yeah, I think that's the best thing. Because when I first started looking, that first part of your question, Owen, right? Spending my 3 hours, I found a platform to spend 3 hours with. And
Yeah.
so I was everywhere. I was watching videos on coding. It took one of those for an hour to go, yeah, I don't need this route. So, I knew not to go that route. So I found some real cool short videos that described AI at a high level, watch those, and then just went, okay, these are the words I know I got to look for. Then I started going these other directions. So yes, find someone who's doing it, and then you got to commit, even if 20 minutes, not doing so much, because I don't think it's a doing right now. I think you got to understand, how does this thing work? So find some, right? I found a group, and I'll just shout it out. It's called Section, and they have recorded and live things. So you get really updated. Like this afternoon, I'll watch a live, really updated, right? Where is AI going in 2026? And then I also carve out time for their pre-recorded stuff, like how to use AI for marketing. I've taken their sales. And again, it's not platform specific, it's AI specific, right? So they're selling education. And it was the only Black Friday deal I took. I laugh because I'm like, right, all the Black Friday shit, and I see this at half price. I'm like, I'm in. And so, yeah, so talk to people doing the work, and then talk to people, and then set up some time to learn yourself. Because again, it was the doing at the very beginning when I had no idea, and then going, okay, I got to learn more about this. Because when I set up that workflow, that was a huge game changer. It's just like answering the phone in my own business, right? After picking up about five calls, it was like, holy shit, I gotta learn more about this. I gotta figure out how to do this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Well,
would say too, I took it to Jerry's point. I remember spending like $400. It wasn't even like a ton, like I guess to me that's not like a ton of money to spend. And I just spent like just $400 to like basically learn AI with somebody. I sat down for like 3 4 hours and we just sat in like kind of an intimate, like there was only five or six of us, and he was doing AI automated stuff. So his whole thing was around, I'll shout him out too, my friend John Mendez, who's here, and his big quote for his company is, AI won't replace you, but somebody using AI will.
yeah.
Right. So I love that quote in general. And he said basically what he did was he was a real estate agent, young kid, that essentially realized, wait a minute, I could do this real estate thing, or I could teach more real estate agents how to use AI to leverage more real estate stuff. And so what he did was he just started coming up with all these different prompts, how to use ChatGPT, how to customize it, how to do different tools, how to do social media, all these different pieces, and then went through that whole thing. And I thought the same thing that Jerry said. I go, he's doing this for real estate agents, but why couldn't I do this for PT? Meaning, why couldn't I just take all the things? Because the business is systems. This is all the same shit. So in
Yeah,
theory,
it's all building out the
right?
systems. That's the other thing, right?
That's
Yeah,
it.
that's
That's
what
it.
this is.
So this guy just built out all these systems for real estate agents. So literally, I just took a day or two and said, okay, here are all the systems you built for real estate. Here's how I could build it for physical therapy. And then just started implementing them.
So
Boom.
if we say AI won't replace you, but someone using AI will, then where do you guys see the customer experience going in the next 5 years, right? So
So
I have my
I don't,
PT script,
yeah.
or I have my bum knee and I've been scrolling through Facebook. Well, however I get to your clinic. Now,
So,
is there somebody at the front office? Or am I on a tablet? When I make that initial call, am I talking to AI? Like, what do you guys see as like a way that this evolves? And I'm not saying, you got to be spot on with crystal ball, but like, some of the trends you're seeing in real life, where do you see it going?
let's go back. I think Brian alluded to this. So we got to go back to the highest level again, right? So I was saying about replacing people, because read my post this week. I said, hey, I will absolutely fucking replace you. Right?
Well,
The problem
there
is,
we go.
right? The problem is what it's replacing is the tasks, right? And the input
Yes.
that, because it's replacing tasks in the stuff that it, so that this could be a whole nother episode on its own, is
For
how
sure.
is AI going to replace people? We got to go back to, and this is what's cool, is my theme for this talk is absolutely the same. We got to go higher level, and do you understand the work your team is doing? So we talked about systems, right? That's what's so funny. Without even knowing about it, we're talking about La Brea and how it worked and why it works here and everything. That is a system. That's a business system, right? If you go into AI and you're looking, and I haven't had a chance to say this, and this is another thing. That thing, do you have a benefit check? Who's doing benefit checks, and who has a solution for me? If
When you
it's a
say benefits checks, by the way, just for
benefit checks
clarification, you
and like
mean
authorizations,
verifications?
right? Yeah,
Yeah.
verifications.
So people are reaching out, right? Verifications. I'm like, well, that's just a point solution. I have a benefits check company with people. I rarely ever sign up someone for benefit checks who doesn't need help in their pre-arrival process. Either they're making the wrong promises, they don't have the right system set up, whatever it is. So it's never a point solution. So a number one is it can't be a point solution. So when we say AI will replace people, we're talking about people doing tasks, right? We're
Yes.
talking about that person, right, that just sits there and, oh, by the way, has to call fucking insurances all day long, right?
While
So,
smiling at the person who's talking to them about their kid,
yeah, right.
yeah.
And so I don't believe again that it's going to replace people in so much. It's going to coordinate here. It's going to coordinate systems. And when we coordinate systems, we're going to see different roles for people. So it's changing business. It's not changing people. And it's not changing the task, because the tasks still have to be done, but the task was never the priority that healthcare makes it. And we have turned, this is the front desk work, man. We have turned the front desk into task masters. And this is the thing, people hire front desk people and they hire six front desk people to all the same job description.
Yes.
And I'll never
Oh.
forget the first time I sat down with a big group of front desk people and said, let's get all the tasks out. I want everything you guys do It was a full day thing we did. I want everything you guys do every day. And we put
Three
it all
whiteboards.
down. And then I said, now let's break it up. Daily, weekly, monthly. And mind you, there's like six people in the room. This is when it hit me. Okay, daily, weekly, monthly. There was shit that needed to be done Friday at 3:15, right? For 15 minutes. Check this out. So there's stuff like answering the phone. Who does this? Everybody's hand goes up. You're like, okay. And I'm going through other stuff. And I'm noticing no matter what I say, every hand goes up. Even that task at 3:15 on Friday, who's responsible for this? Every hand goes up, right? That's a fucking systems process. Those people are gonna fail. They're gonna continue this spiral of I don't get paid enough. Fuck insurance companies, fuck these people, fuck referrals. But it's like you don't understand how to run a business. So we're talking AI here. So again, if we take a step back, and I think, Brian, this is the way you're talking, but we have to say this part out loud in healthcare. I don't have kids, but we all have healthcare and people work in healthcare. It's the same as having kids. You got to say the same thing over and over,
100
and all they
percent.
do is complain about money. Right? They want more money. I'm like, that's got to be having kids. So I've had kids. I've had 20 kids at the same time.
For sure.
So we have to say this quiet part out loud is you got to understand what is right. This breaking down like a business into pre-arrival, arrival, and course of care, right? Is a way for me to go, look, this is all connected, but we broke it down into chunks. But every task that this front desk team member is doing when they pick up the phone is tied to this end result, right? Which is a happy paying customer. So how does that tie in? Now, back to AI. That task I just did early in this person's journey, Brian calls you, not even on the schedule. That task this person is doing, if it doesn't get done, there will be no end result. So this is bigger than a task, right? It ties in, and the front desk person knows their task ties into the bigger goal. By the way, this is out of Four Disciplines of Execution by Chesney, which has been a game changer for me, right? And so if the front desk knows this, bear with me on this, and they tie this in, then guess what? It's way easier. You got it, dude. I love it's right there,
For
right? It's one of
our
the top
listeners,
five,
Brian just
man.
held up
One
the
of
book in front.
yeah,
Pulled
I
it from his
just,
bookshelf as
yeah.
he
Every
was
clinical
talking.
director reads it.
Yeah, you have to, because that's what really, when I had all this stuff in place, I'm like, how do I get the team aligned? And then I read that. It was like, it literally was the last box. Bear with me. It was literally the last box to check for me to put it together so I could start sharing it like this. And so if I understand this task I'm doing pre-arrival and how it's tied into the bigger task, then AI can be a big solution for me. And it's never a point solution. Right. I'm looking at AI platforms to partner with. I want to partner with someone. I will not create my own, but I will work with someone who allows me to own the PT part of it. Right. And that's what I'm looking for right now. And I have a couple good leads. Here's the other requirement, right? They have to respect my work and they have to be willing to sign agreements as it's my IP. I own it on your platform. Second thing is they have to have the whole fucking solution. I'm not going. I've had more point solution people. Wait, dude, my ego has been so pumped up, but now I'm like, no, right? People reaching out to me going, Jerry, we have this solution. I look at it. I'm like, is this all it does? Yeah. I'm like, no. I want someone who brings the whole thing from voice agent to benefit checks to outbound calls to billing to everything, yet will allow people to bring in one part at a time because I'm like, cool. I will get people to understand the bigger picture. We'll get them to bring this one on and then we'll just add as they're able. So that, Owen, is my answer to the question of will it replace people? No, it's just going to coordinate work. And as we talked about, every one of those is going to need someone. I learned this with the benefit check part. My team became more important when we got the AI platform because they were constantly giving feedback on the output, right? So we're going to need quality assurance people. And I just gave this talk at TherapyCon, it elevates the role of the front desk people. Now they're managing a system and process, not a task.
Yeah, it's like
So
starting
I've
out with
been
the
waiting for
worst student
someone to
you've.
ask that question so I could preach like that. And welcome to Sunday school with
There
Jerry.
you go. All
But
right.
that's it.
Well,
That's it.
and I feel like AI on a lot of levels is almost like the worst student you ever had on day one. And then you have to have that mentality of like, I or my team is
Has to change.
going to
Change
check
it.
in with it every few days, like do all that stuff, right?
That
You can't just be
that's
like
the part
busting
people
shit
really
off.
miss, Owen, because I'm like, when I did the voice agent stuff and I was listening to calls, man, and I listened to every call and we did feedback. And by the way, next week it was better. So there has to be a front-end investment, there has to be a during investment, there has to be a back-end investment, meaning you go fire everybody and there's no one to check on it, it's gonna run amok, dude.
Yeah. There's a couple places I want to jump in there because I totally agree with everything Jerry just said, and I'll try and get in some of it. But to me, I agree. It's going to systemize things and it's going to make it so that you can do things more efficiently. It's going to be an efficient situation, right? And allow and but at the same time, it will also actually increase human interaction because what it'll do is it'll actually allow us to do more and more and more and be better and more efficient. I was listening to the CEO of NVIDIA talk about this, and he was saying how, everybody thought AI was just gonna absolutely replace radiologists, right? He was like, well, what actually happened was instead radiologists actually increased in employment with AI. Why? Because at the nature of that job, it became more diagnostic. What happened was instead of like we actually could read and you work with AI to be better. And I think that's what Jerry's kind of saying is like, if I give you this AI system and it's shit, like you're not doing the right stuff, it's still gonna suck. Like, how many people have you met who've said, oh, the AI makes mistakes? Really, what it is, and again, it comes back to that 40X book, by the way, is holding yourself accountable to the fact of maybe you just don't know how to use it properly, and that's why it's shit, right? In general. And so ultimately it's gonna come down to training and actually making sure that everybody's doing the systems properly and how to utilize it, and then it will be really, really strong. And
So what
I
you're
still
saying is it's another front office person I have to train.
Well, right? Isn't that funny? Brian's describing hiring
Yes.
and training and onboarding,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
It's amazing. Being a good manager is helpful.
Well, and a great example of what Jerry just talked about that I agree with is we just had this happen, right? Long story short, we have a VA that we loved who was awesome, but she got pregnant. I shouldn't even say but she got pregnant. She got pregnant, right? So congratulations, awesome. One of the physicians that she has, and I don't know why, I never asked, but she basically was like, you have to resign from your job. Right, high risk pregnancy apparently, blah, blah, whatever. Well, yesterday had a doctor's appointment and then literally resigned. No 2 weeks given, blah, blah, done. So now the effect becomes, well, and this is literally before we hopped on this podcast, 15 minutes before I was having this conversation with my business partner, we were talking about it. And the biggest thing that he said was, I was like, all right, should we hire another VA to replace that person? Or should we take the opportunity to bring another person in person and change up some of the stuff that we talk about? And the first thing he said to me, Jerry, and it echoed what you just said. He goes, let's come up with a job description first as to what we want that person to do, and then see what the list of candidates is, makes sense. Here's the pros and cons for being in person. Here's the pros and cons for being a VA. And I think that is exactly right. I think when you just hire a front desk person to be a front desk person, that's what sparked this whole conversation to begin with, is what are the roles of physical therapy and front desk, and how do you actually approach it, right? And the aspect of why front desk is so important is they play a pivotal role in the patient journey, particularly brand new people who've never been to your clinic before. So to your point is, I believe AI will help with the training of that, help with the systemization of that, help with the streamlining of that, and help with the coordination and communication of all of that. However, if you were doing it shitty before, it's just going to amplify your shitty system. If you're doing it really, really well, it's just going to streamline it that much better. And so I totally agree with what Jerry said is I've seen this over and over with friends in different industries and things like that. And they're like, well, we use AI here and not here, and we build this system, we're trying this. But what's happening is I think a lot of companies right now are a solution point for one point of the system. I was saying this, I was like, there's no companies out there that are like, I can do it from soup, soup to nuts, the entire thing. And that's the challenge. That's the opportunity, by the way, too. If people can do that, it'll be a monster. That's the next, multi-million-dollar idea in each industry, and that's where AI can do that.
Let me jump on something, Owen, that Brian said,
Yeah,
because this is where our conversation started, and I posted this in the comments. Is when you understand your front desk serves three different roles. So when people post for a front desk job, they're actually posting for one of three, and yet they post it as one person who can deliver on all three. And so that's what Brian said when we were talking about this. And so all of a sudden, someone quit, someone has to go. By the way, or, and this is happens with a lot of people I train, they learn this and then we start moving people around into So we go, okay, you're going to be responsible for this. So then we split the front desk team up to deliver on these three objectives. And there's the voice of the company, which is front end sales, right? And then there is the what I call the face of the company, which is that in person, right? Keeps people on schedule, collects copays, collects payments, whatever. And then there's that back office admin role. And if you then look at your patient's journey, and you then say we need to hire a front desk person, and you look at it of okay, what role do we need filled? Then it's going to make your life way easier and way better because you're going to post for the right job. And I actually still am sitting on, I have a whole job description and job posting for the front end salesperson because I had to create it. And when you read it, right, it doesn't read like, right. And I mean, let's face it, go on to Indeed, front desk role for healthcare practice. They're 99 going to read 99% the same. And the front desk sells, you know, is like the first three lines like totally blow up. You know, if you just want to not be held accountable and do a task all day, don't read any further, right? Shit like that. But yeah, so that's the important part here. And that's why I don't care where people want to go with the AI conversation, just like the benefit checks. It's like, you know, the other thing I wanted to say about like going into, you know, I need benefit checks. I'm like, well, what's the problem? Literally, that needs to be, and I didn't do that. But that needs to be it. It's what's the problem you need solved. And by the way, I'm going to argue sometimes it's not benefit checks. By the way, I need a new front desk problem. What problem are you trying to solve? No, you don't need front desk. You need to split the task up. When I first started this work, right? I thought I was going to roll in everywhere, and I was a little fearful because I'm going to have to show up and tell everybody to fire their team. And what I found was that wasn't true. We ended up moving people to different seats on the bus. And
That's
honestly,
awesome.
after all this work and all these years of doing it, I think only one person where I went to someone and went, no, totally unacceptable. You got to get rid of this person. The rest of it's like, let's move these people around. So again, this, you know, again, we're talking AI here, but I'm going to go back to people, process, tech. And that's all my business card now. I actually put it on about a year ago. It's people, process, then tech. And if people will just fucking put that on their goddamn mirror in their bathroom in the morning, and before they walk out the door, and before they go to work, and before they start thinking about how they're going to implement tech, go, do I understand the people and the process?
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that. I love that because that was something you posted. And actually, as we're going through it, I had ChatGPT, like we're talking talking points for this podcast, and it's on here. The front desk actually has three roles, right? And it says this is the heart of Jerry's response, makes it the backbone of the episode. The three roles: the voice, the face, the back office. And I
And
was like,
then,
I
by the
love, yeah,
way,
I love it.
and then
It only took us 45 minutes to get I
there.
know, it's all
And
good.
you know what's really cool? Well, there's a lot in here, right? And you gotta, you know, when you've been saying, I've been fucking shouting into the wind for 15 years, man. And right now, every time you guys see the way I react to front desk posts on LinkedIn, because I'm like, finally, and I'm like a giddy 5-year-old kid discovering something for the first time. And I'm excited everybody else is seeing it. Yeah, fuck it. If we're gonna talk AI and we understand those three roles, then this is the beauty of it. Guess who's gonna fucking set it up and monitor it? The salesperson is gonna monitor the voice agent. The fucking front desk person is gonna manage the scheduling and the right payment part. This is where it becomes, it's not about replacing people, it's about identifying the people who are gonna run the fucking systems and monitor it. Now, I didn't say you're not gonna get. I didn't say you're going to keep hiring people. If you set this up, then let's double back to the beginning of this talk. Your scalability becomes pure insanity. That's the other thing about AI that we haven't talked about. I grew up reading E-Myth, when you can't scale yourself. Well, about 9 months ago, I woke up one day and went, fuck this, I can scale myself now. So it is a game changer. It is a business changer. It's not a person changer, man. It's a
Well, and
business changer.
this is a cool thing I think about that model, right? And I come at it from a management standpoint because my talent was managing people for a bigger company where I had other systems and other people. It was a much bigger
So
thing,
you had
right?
more kids than I did, dude.
But I'm thinking of it and saying, okay, who would I hire for a sales role? It definitely wouldn't be the same person I'd hire for a biller role, right?
For sure.
So if I'm looking at it and saying, okay, I have six clinics, right? Wouldn't it be much more efficient to take two people who are great at sales and have all calls route to them, and
Yeah.
then have two people who are great at connecting, right? And have them be the front office person at the big clinics, or maybe you know, that's a role that you have to do clinic per clinic,
You
and
got it.
then have like the medical biller be that, right? And I think a lot of people do that. I think the billing side does that. But then the manager, the owner, your job is making sure they can all talk to each other, right?
Correct.
And that's where, you know, the kind of going from entrepreneur to leader, right, is where you can do that. And then, like you said, AI flattens that, right? AI makes it so one person can do six clinics instead of you have to have three people sitting at the front desk of each clinic, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's fine. It's something I didn't even think about, right?
Hey,
In
Owen,
terms
thank
of
you
from
for
a hiring
pumping
standpoint.
my LinkedIn post from yesterday. Go look at my centralized scheduling post yesterday.
I
I
said, see,
love
I'm seeing patients, man. I can't be on
it. You
LinkedIn
know,
all day.
Jerry, I have a
I'm driving
question for you.
around Phoenix.
I have a question for you because a lot of times we like to try and like add some sort of tactical advice that people can like take and grow, right? And you know, one of the things that I think I have a couple different thought processes. I could ask you probably 20 different questions on this. We could probably go for multiple hours, and I want to be respectful of time. But here's the two questions I got. So one, what do you, because we kind of went over the first one, which was like, well, I got three questions, but you went over the first one was like, why is it dangerous to treat the front desk like a single job instead of three roles? I think we sort of touched on that. But one, if you have anything to add, more than willing to jump in. But I thought more so is say I'm a new clinic owner and I have somebody, like think about like Owen as he grows and builds. What's the first role that you would kind of look for to hire? And that, I mean, for me, I have an idea of what I would want to do, but I would love to hear your take on it. And then two, I'd say what breaks first when one person is expected to do all three without clarity?
Well, you know what breaks first? Because here's the thing, is everybody, so if we take those three roles and we mash them up and we really don't understand it, we all hire for the same exact role in that. What do? Everybody I talk to do, they hire that smiley customer service person.
Yep.
During my journey, I've been very fortunate when I was a member of EO to meet very smart business people. And I'll never forget when one of them told me, Jerry, you're making a mistake. You're hiring customer service people to do sales. Customer service people hate sales, and salespeople hate customer service. I will never forget that fucking conversation. So that's what breaks first. We all hire for the customer service role. So sales conversions breaks first, right? 100%. 100% of
Yep.
the time. And so there's that. And that's what goes first. So we'll leave it at that. I'll just answer that question and let you follow up.
Yeah. And my thought was like, again, if you're brand new, like who would, because now obviously as we're talking, right, my inclination is actually to hire more of like a salesperson who can
Yeah.
actually and take inbound of people calling the
Yeah.
clinic and
Yeah,
outbound
you
of people
got it.
calling
And you
and
know, in
schedule those people and the VAs will be that good face, right? That'll just constantly be that customer service,
Yeah,
right?
you can I say so, right? And then there's always the exception to the rule, the first one,
Yeah.
right? You're
Yes,
like,
of
okay,
course,
Jerry,
right?
what do I
Yeah.
do? And I say that first one, I say, you know, that's the hardest one, and yet it's the most important one, because if you nail it, they're gonna build out this whole thing for you.
Yes.
So I always challenge people to spend a lot more time, energy, and money on the first hire than they do. Because who's the first hire? Hey, Owen, right? How's it going? Oh, awesome. I just brought in my first employee. It's my cousin, sister's neighbor, your garbage
Exactly. Yep.
man's friend's daughter,
Exactly.
right? Who's home
Yep.
from
So true,
college. And I'm
dude.
like, good luck with that, bro. Yeah, good luck. And then it creates more trouble,
Who wants
right?
$35 an hour, right?
Yeah.
Is
And then it creates
that
more
right?
trouble.
Oh
So
my God. Yeah, don't hire
obviously
out of
spend more
desperation.
time, energy, and money on that first hire. And I would lean towards the sell side, because let's face it, that first hire has to be putting people on the schedule that are showing
Yep.
up, so that you can generate revenue to what? Hire more people, right?
Exactly. I put that post on the other day and I was like, it's just a constant reminder. You always need to have more leads. And if you have a good salesperson, you know, because if you're doing marketing, you have a good salesperson, it's hard not to make enough money to hire more people, right?
Yeah,
And so I told I that's where I would go first. I figured we'd be lockstep on that. And I would agree for
I
sure.
rarely, now mind you, about 20%, 20 to 30 max of clinics with not enough leads. It's a fucking sales problem.
For
Yeah.
sure.
And by the way, I love coming into clinics and yeah, I need a little help. Okay. You want me to help you with a process or strategy? Well, I have a sales script. Can you take a look at it? And it's like,
Terrible.
Scroll, scroll, scroll.
I know.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, I did a post on this. I said, I can always tell when a sales script comes from a marketing company or someone who got it from someone else, because when the first phone call doesn't work, they start adding more. When the second phone call doesn't work, they add more. I'm like, why don't you just execute on this process for like 30 days and see what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, less is more.
I'm a
All
big
right.
believer in that too, is just ask questions.
Yeah, you
Here are the
got to.
questions to ask. It should be 4 to 5 questions, and it should, and again, the bigger the talker, the better. And like any sales process and script, and we just started a new one for reactivation. It was 4 questions. And I was like, this allows us to at least have a conversation, be concise, and call more people. You nailed it. I think that's great. So to those listening, the voice, the salesperson, I think is the best first hire. And then you can fill it out from there because then you got more people and you can focus on marketing. I totally agree. I think
Yeah,
it's awesome.
because you know they can do some of that overflow. The other people can't do the overflow. So you can't get a back office billing person to do any of that other stuff. And that's cool. You shouldn't. Yeah.
By the way, I
And
also
all
think
right.
that's why Cash PT is bigger too, because there's a less need for that back office operations. So I think there's less of
Yeah,
a,
right. They're only
you know,
hiring basically
it's,
two
I always say
people.
this,
Sure.
I go, the reason why I think Cash PT is bumping more and more is because it's just easier to start. I was
Yeah.
like, my,
Much
so
easier
anyway,
to start.
so,
Yeah.
but yeah, awesome stuff,
All
man. This
right.
is great.
Well, we will round that out. I'm sure we could probably have like three more
I know.
podcasts with us three in the room.
Yeah,
But
for sure.
Jerry, I really want to thank you for your time, man. I love the perspective that you bring to the profession and the passion that you bring it with. Brian, you're all right. Good talk. and with that, we are out. Have a good one. See ya.
Thanks, man.